So we're going to go ahead and jump into the word this morning. This is part two of a message that I started last week, and I've got 7 pages of notes, and I want to get it all out. So I'm just going to have you hold on to your seats, and we're going to start. So, Father, thank you for your word. We need your word. We esteem your word. Thank you for dispelling lies this morning. Thank you for hope rising this morning, faith coming this morning. When we hear your word, faith comes. Thank you, Lord, for faith coming, faith increasing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Not our will, but your will be done. Thank you for the blessings that are yes and amen in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're going to do today. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for a word in due season for each one, that lives would be changed because of your word and our time spent together. We honor you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, part two of Are You Blessed or Cursed? If you missed the message last week, I endeavored to lay a foundation of who we are in Christ. We have to have a solid foundation of our righteousness, our position in God, so that when we do encounter the storms of life, we've got that solid foundation to stand on. And if you need healing in your life, if you need deliverance in your life, part of receiving that and being able to maintain it is knowing who you are as a Christian. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we're going to say so. Amen. So the question I posed last week to each of us was, are you blessed? Are the blessings of God and the favor of God flowing not just in one area of your life, but in every area of your life? And if we were honest, a lot of us would probably say, well, yeah, I've got the blessings of God over here, and I'm starting to see the blessings of God here, but maybe I'm missing a few things in this area. Christianity, a life in Christ, is a progression. And we go from faith to faith and glory to glory, and we grow and we learn and we keep moving forward. And so as you progress in your faith, things should be getting better and better. And what I mean by that is you should have more and more peace on the inside, more and more of that quiet assurance, so that when you bump into a storm, you're like, I don't care. God's got me. He didn't fall off the throne. He knows exactly where I'm at. I don't need to panic. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of what? Power and love and a sound mind. So are you reigning, R-E-I-G-N-I-N-G, in life? Or does it seem like life is reigning, R-A-I-N-I-N-G, on you? God wants us to reign, R-E-I-G-N, in life with him. That's what the word says. We reign in life by Christ Jesus, in him. So we want to keep ourselves positioned in him. And then we want to grow our faith to be overcomers. We want to be victorious. We do not want to be victims. Some people, unfortunately some Christians, they get comfortable with a victim mentality. Life is against them. Everybody's out to get them. Nothing ever is going to change. That is not what the Bible says. That's what the devil says, and that's what the devil wants you to believe, but that is not what Jesus went to the cross and bought back for each one of us. Psalm 107:20, God sent his word to heal us and to deliver us from every destruction, to deliver us from destructions. Are there destructive patterns, habits, emotions? Some people let their emotions run their life. rather than the Spirit of God run their life. Jesus wants to be the Lord of our life, and the Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us into all truth. God gave us our emotions to bless us and to help us, but God never gave us our emotions to run amok, to be a hook in our nose that whatever we're feeling, that's what we have to follow after. We want to rule our emotions and not allow our emotions to rule us. Destructive habits. Those things start with a lie of the enemy, that you somehow need to do this particular behavior. The enemy's pretty good too at ensnaring us. So maybe you've tried something and all of a sudden you were hooked. And it takes some time. If you've had a repeated pattern, there's repeated brain patterns in your life, but you know that you can, your brain can heal, your brain can have all new pathways. I'm a living testimony of a bona fide, verified miracle from a brain injury that I had 10 years ago. I have a medical report after about, I think, 4 years maybe of going through what I was going through that, you know, this was it. Unlikely to fully recover, below average on all sorts of markers, did that big test, and I just refused the report. You just refused the report, I'm telling you right now. Refused the report. Whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of the Lord? Or are you going to believe the report of medical doctors? Now, we appreciate medical doctors. We appreciate their knowledge. We appreciate what they can do for us, but they are not the final answer. God is the final answer. And when the enemy was able to come at me, and I've shared this before, I'm not going to get into it, but I opened the door to that situation, and then I had to walk through the healing process. And I had to stand, but one thing I did is I made a determination and I told every doctor, I told everybody that would listen, I am going to have my life back. I'm going to have my life back. You have to make a determination sometimes that you are going to stand on the word of God and the promise of God, no matter what it looks like, no matter what anybody says to you, and just shut out everything else. The voices that are contrary to the word of God are contrary voices. Don't listen to contrary voices. Listen to the Spirit of God on the inside that will always agree with the word of God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. The Word, the blood, the Spirit, they all agree. They're all in agreement that we were healed, we were delivered, we were set free. The moment you accepted Jesus into your heart, all of those things became true spiritually. Now, we have to enforce that victory and learn how to think right and behave right and follow through so that what Jesus paid the price for on the cross will have evidence in our natural life. That's the process of faith. That's the process of growing up in Christ. And way too many Christians stop along the way. They might gain a few victories here and there, but then they just park themselves, get comfortable maybe. They're okay with some kind of crazy going on in their life as long as their life isn't completely crazy. I'm not sure why. But my prayer is that not one of us would park ourselves anywhere. And if we have parked ourselves, that we would get up and get moving again. There is a plan for each one of us. God is looking for a remnant in this day. Jesus is coming back for his church. He's coming back for his bride without spot or wrinkle. And he's looking. He said, when I return, will I find faith in the earth? The angels are wondering who the people of God are going to be that are actually living for him, sold out in faith. Don't disqualify yourself. He called you. He called you. He sees you. He sees everything that is wrong with you. We all have stuff. But we're not going to hang on to our stuff like it's somehow more important than what God wants to do on the inside of us. John 10:10 from the Amplified. Jesus said, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life." Do you know that God wants you to enjoy your life right now? Enjoy your life. Put a smile on your face. Have some fun. If you forgot how to have fun and you forgot how to smile and you forgot how to laugh, find something funny and watch it. When I was recovering from that brain injury, now do not get mad at me. I love dogs. I'm a dog person. And I know there's lots of people in our church, they're cat people. I'm not necessarily a cat person, but I found those cat videos on Facebook where they do weird stuff. They see themselves in the mirror and they go, and they freak themselves out or whatever. And I would lay in bed and watch videos that would make me laugh. I'd sit on the couch and watch America's Funniest Home videos because I needed to laugh. I knew that a merry heart does good like a medicine. So thankfully, I had enough of the word in me that I knew what to do. Even for those of you that knew me during that time, I was like, I just was kind of like a zombie. I just went through the motions. I could hardly think. I couldn't remember stuff. People like Amanda covered for me, helped me. Sometimes it was all I could do to just get myself here, and I was so off balance from the brain injury that affected my vision and my balance that there were times when I would just stand up against a wall because if I touched something, I didn't feel like I was going to tip over. I remember I started walking out into the hallway at the old church and started to feel like I was going to go down, and Josh was walking by and I'm like, "Josh, I just got to grab your arm for a minute." And then he helped me. God will send people to help you on your journey when you need it. And you can be assured of that. God's life, Zoe, encompasses his blessing in every area. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's what that actually means. I love the Amplified Bible. I love the Amplified Classic Bible. Because you might just go, "Yeah, okay, Jesus wants me to have abundant life." But when you actually read it, have and enjoy life, have it in abundance, to the full, till it overflows. That means that you have everything that you need and you are overflowing with his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love, his life flowing through you. That Zoe life, it's his blessing in every area. We want to learn how to appropriate everything that he has for us. Adam and Eve were blessed and they were given dominion in the garden. But then they got deceived. Eve was deceived and Adam sinned. And they fell. And that opened the door for sin and death and darkness and evil. They basically, God had told them to have dominion, gave them the keys, and they just turned around. Didn't take too long before they got their eyes off of God. They weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and pretty soon they handed the keys to Satan. How many Christians sometimes just hand the keys right back over? Or they don't even know that the keys are in the wrong hands because they've never taken them themselves. Take back the keys. Jesus won the victory. He didn't leave anything out on the cross. We need to, if you don't get anything, you need to get this. Jesus left nothing out when he went to the cross. Please do not insult God. It's an insult. It's an insult to think that God went to the cross, that he suffered that beating beyond recognition, the Bible says. What he took for us, every stripe purchased our healing. Every wound delivered us. Everything, every insult brought restoration, the ability for that back into our life. So at least be honest enough to know that it's not what Jesus did on the cross. It's how we relate to what Jesus did on the cross, what we know, what we're willing to surrender to, submit to. And this is an instruction book. Now, I think I said this last week. I'm not much on instructions, but I do read this one. This instruction manual, I try to follow to the best of my ability. And when I don't follow it correctly, and I have, you know, have you ever tried to make something and it just didn't turn out? And you're like, well, that was bad. Okay, well, sometimes we have that happen in our lives because we kind of are halfway following, but we're improvising because maybe we think it's going to be better. How many of you have ever thought that you knew better than God? I did. Lots of times. You all did too, even the ones that didn't raise your hand. And I know that because you've had issues in your life. If you were fully surrendered to God 100% of the time, you wouldn't have a problem. You might have to endure some stuff that comes at you, but man, you'd be sailing through everything. So we all have to. But think about this. When Adam and Eve sinned, this is how good God is. This is how big he is. They could have just, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they could have just figured out a plan to give us eternal life. Okay, those humans down there gave them everything. They blew it. Let's at least let them come to heaven and be part of the family in heaven. No. No. They had a plan to redeem us fully back. Everything, healed, delivered, blessed, needs met. That's what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so we have to stop arguing with the Word of God. At some point, every Christian should just decide one way. I mean, if you want to argue with God, that's fine. You certainly have that right. But I'm not going to argue with God. Whether I like it or not, he's God and I'm not. So whether I want to agree, I mean, the Word of God is hard. Jesus is a rock. Lay down on a rock. Nobody likes to lay down on rocks. We'd rather lay down on sand. Why? Because sand conforms to us. You conform to the rock. And so it's always going to be a challenge. The Word of God will challenge you. Church should challenge you. If you don't ever feel challenged, if you don't ever feel like your toes are being stepped on, then something's probably not quite right. You're not actually getting everything that you need. Blessing, healing, deliverance, complete restoration of mind. Those things are available to anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. You have to be adopted into the family of God, which we saw last week we are. Jesus demonstrated God's perfect will to heal, deliver, and restore. So Matthew 9:35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Every. Say every. That means every. Doesn't mean that Jesus bumped into anything that he thought, uh-oh, I don't know about this. What am I going to do? No. He faced everything head on and he healed everything. The only place that Jesus was ineffective was in his own hometown. Why? Because they didn't honor him. Their doubt, their unbelief, they brought Jesus down Isn't he the carpenter's son? I mean, who does he think he is? All the religious people. How did the religious people, the Pharisees, who were supposed to recognize the Messiah, how did they miss him? Because he didn't come the way they thought. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is going to ask you to do things that maybe challenge your upbringing or challenge your thinking. But if you can see it in the Word of God and you can find Scripture, not just one Scripture pulled out of context, but Scripture to back it up, then you do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. Because in that will be your deliverance. In that will be your healing. And it doesn't matter if it's unusual, and it doesn't matter if nobody else thinks you should. We need to obey God. We should obey God rather than man. Amen? All right, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The enemy, the accuser of the brethren, he brings oppression to people. He wants to sit on you. He wants to put a dark cloud over your life. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Luke 4:18. This is Jesus' mission statement that he declared himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You know when you're poor, you know you're poor. You're a little more humble. Jesus came to save and to heal those that knew they needed a physician. People that think they have it all figured out. How foolish to think that you have it all figured out. But there's lots of people that are in hell today because they thought they had it all figured out. And they were too full of themselves and too full of the world to humble themselves and acknowledge that they needed a Savior. He sent me to heal. And if you look that word up, it's cure, heal, and make whole. No matter what the enemy has stolen from you in your life, God is big enough to restore back to you wholeness. Whole, nothing missing, nothing lacking. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. God, open our eyes to set at liberty those who are oppressed. So just because it's available doesn't mean it's automatic. In fact, it isn't. Salvation, when you humble yourself, acknowledge you need a Savior, salvation is right there. And you have everything. But now you need to find out what you have. It's like opening a present. God gave us this great, big, huge present full of healing and restoration and deliverance and all these good things, blessing, prosperity. But you have to open up the packages. Have you ever gotten a gift where it was a big box wrapped and then there were more boxes inside that were also wrapped and you had to keep unwrapping them and you discovered until you got them all unwrapped? That's what we're doing. Our life of faith is unwrapping all the different things. God gives us all these things, and we have to learn how to operate them and what they actually are. Have you ever gotten a gift that you weren't sure what to do with it? Sometimes we don't know, but we can find out. We can find out in the Word of God. Colossians 1:13-14 from the King James, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, past tense, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. Redemption, he bought us back through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We're forgiven. We're forgiven. Past tense, it's already done. Jesus destroyed the works of the devil when he was in the heart of the earth, and then he rose again in power and glory. So whatever needs to be corrected, healed, restored in your life, the power of God is available to any who will unlock the keys for it. Wasn't it Stephen Covey that, I don't even know if anybody knows who Stephen Covey is anymore, but God knows how to put the proper price on his goods. So there is some effort involved in unlocking the blessings, unlocking the provision, and knowing how to operate those things in your life. What do I mean by that? We have to cooperate. The Bible is full of if-then statements. If you do this, then this will happen. Meditate on my word day and night. Then you will know how to what? Observe. And you will see how to have good success. Observe to do what's in the word of God. See what you need to do to have good success. A lot of people want to just go from A to Z, and they think that those blessings are just going to plop on them. But if the blessings plopped on you, you wouldn't know how to handle them, and you'd misuse the power of God and misuse the things in his word. It's better to get things by faith. 3 John 2 from the Amplified. Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. So now we're seeing how some of these things begin to unfold. Is your soul, your mind, your will, emotions, is your soul prospering spiritually? Your soul prospering starts with your thinking. Proverbs says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So Joyce Meyer wrote a book years ago, probably 35, 40 years ago now, The Battlefield of the Mind. It was a bestseller. It still is a bestseller. It's probably one of the best books ever written on getting victory in your mind. We need to renew our minds to the truth of God's word. We have to change our thinking. A lot of Christians, I have heard this for years, and I still hear it. And sometimes sometimes you have an opportunity to share the truth with someone, and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you just have to keep your mouth shut and pray. And other times you can actually share the truth. Well, if it be God's will. I just read you several scriptures that told you what God's will was. And nowhere in the gospel, Jesus demonstrated God's will perfectly. Nowhere did Jesus bump into anything where he healed everybody, but Tim, I'm sorry, you just don't qualify, and walked away from that person and left them in that condition. You can't find it. But what you can find is lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of scriptures on healing and health. And you know what else you can find lots and lots and lots and lots of scriptures on? Saying it. Saying it. We can believe, but if we don't say, we're not going to have it. We have to say it to have it. Bible tells us where to start. Matthew 8:2 from the New King James. This is Jesus. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. All right, so a lot of times people will point to that verse and say, well, see, it might have not been Jesus' will to heal. No, that's the wrong understanding. The leper knew it was God's will to heal because he said it was God's will. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. So the leper knew that wherever Jesus went, he was healing and he was delivering and he was setting people free. So the leper declared his faith, not his doubt. What was the question? Lepers were the worst of the worst. It was automatically assumed that if you had leprosy, you did some unquestionable, abominable act, and this was God's wrath for your horrible deeds and what you did. So the leper knew, had faith that Jesus could heal him. He just wasn't sure if he qualified. As a leper, do I qualify for that healing? And that should be good news to anybody who thinks that the things that are in their past are so unspeakable or unthinkable that God would not be able to reach you. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and he touched the leper. Leprosy was so contagious. I mean, it was illegal for the leper to even come to Jesus. And he came in humility and he worshiped the Lord. He called him Lord. He didn't have anything to lose because he was going to die anyway. So it didn't matter. You know, when you're desperate, you'll do what it takes to get to Jesus. And often you'll see that desperation. If you start reading the Gospels from the point of humility and worship and desperation, miracles. Exactly what they came for every single time. Jesus never turned anybody away. Jesus touched the leper. That's how great his compassion and love is, that he would touch the most unclean. And the people knew it. So you don't ever have to think that what's in your past is so egregious that Jesus can't touch it. In fact, you want him to touch it so you can be free and you can be healed. And when you open yourself up, you know, that takes humility. Takes humility. God knows everything anyway. We're not hiding one thing from God. It's like little kids, you know, they're standing right there in plain view, but they think they're hiding because they have their eyes closed. And all the adults just chuckle, right? We are always in plain view of God. So we're never hiding. We're never hiding. He knows right where we're at. He knows how to help us. He knows how to get to us. Let me just find my notes here. All right. Faith speaks. The leper spoke his faith. Jesus spoke his will. Lord, if you're willing, I'm willing. And then he followed it up with action. Faith speaks. Faith has action. Bible says faith without corresponding action is dead. It's inoperative. It won't work. Faith also works by love. That's another topic. But we always want to be working on our love walk so that our faith can have the fuel it needs. Proverbs 18:21 from the Amplified. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words. So what we teach people is death and life are in the power of tongue. That's what the Bible says. You're going to eat the consequences of what you're saying. I know a lot of people who agree with me, but I hear death coming out of their mouth all the time. I don't know that they fully understand, do not speak death. Quit cursing your own life. Quit cursing your stuff. Quit saying what is contrary. Ask the Holy Spirit to put a guard on your lips. So you have to not only stop saying the wrong stuff, you got to start saying the right stuff. It's easier if you just start saying the right stuff. And you just keep saying the right stuff because eventually the wrong stuff, we only have so many words in a day. Everybody has their own word limit, right? Some people get lots of words before they're tired. Some people have two words and then they're like exhausted. But you still have to say the word. The fastest way is to just start speaking the word of God. And every morning when you get out of bed before your feet hit the floor, God put a guard on my lips today. I'm going to choose life with my words. Help me to choose life with my words. And then as soon as you catch yourself saying the wrong thing, stop. You can stop. You can stop. You probably don't want to come and live in our house because we'll help you stop. We check each other all the time. That's not what you want. Don't say that. Speak life. We got scriptures all over our house. Find your scriptures and stick them in places where you can be reminded to say them. You didn't end up where you are by not doing the things that you've done. I know that sounds really profound. But if you want things to change, then you're going to have to do things differently. And you can do it. And when you do it, not only will your life improve, but the lives of those around you will improve. Because they will see the glory and goodness of God, the peace of God in your life, where you may have had a meltdown and completely fallen apart at something that came at you. All of a sudden, you've got the peace of God, you're calm, you're no longer flipping out. And the people that knew you when you used to flip out can't believe it. What are you doing? Choosing life. Choosing life with my words. And the more you choose life with your words, the better your life is going to be. And if you miss it and you let those words come out of your mouth, repent quickly. I learned a long time ago, repent quickly. My husband is excellent at repenting quickly. Repent quickly. What does that mean? God, forgive me for those words. I render those words useless and powerless. Don't curse other people, even if you think they deserve it. Take it back. Pray for them instead to be saved, to know Jesus. Sometimes people need to have their driving redeemed. And so I just pray for them to learn how to be better drivers instead of saying something negative. The whole world talks negative. We've learned how to talk negative. A lot of us may have grown up where people spoke the wrong things over us nonstop. Are you cursed or blessed? Sometimes you got to reverse the curse. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and what did Jesus do? He had Peter reaffirm his love for him 3 times. So we need to say what is truth more than what we've heard, whether we've said it ourselves. You know, that's why it's so important with little kids, because they'll believe anything. They'll believe anything. And so when parents or grandparents or teachers or coaches or anybody in authority tells little kids that they'll never amount to anything, or that you're going to grow up to be just like this person or just like that or whatever, and it's just full of, you have to sever the ties to that. Acknowledge, forgive those people. And then you start declaring what Jesus said. So we're going to just, how much time do I got? All right, I got time. Mark 11, how do we go from curse to blessing? I want to read the passage in Mark chapter 11 where Jesus cursed a fig tree. And the first time, couple of times, whatever, I read that, I thought, well, that's kind of weird. Why is Jesus cursing a fig tree? Mark 11, 12 through 14. Now the next day when the Lord had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." And his disciples heard it. Now in the morning, we're going to jump forward. As they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. So why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Because if the fig tree had leaves, it was supposed to have fruit. So the fig tree had the appearance, but not the actual fruit. And Jesus cursed it with his words. This is in demonstration of the power of our words. We are to follow after the patterns that God established and Jesus demonstrated. God spoke the worlds into existence. Everything we know, the universe, the planet, everything. He spoke it all into existence. He framed everything with his word. Jesus spoke his word and things changed. So if that's the pattern that is established, that's the instructions, that's what we need to do. And you can speed up or slow down the process depending on your speaking. For people that take this seriously and just go all in, and they get their scriptures and they're speaking their scriptures, you know that you cannot think differently than what you're saying. So if you need to get your thinking straightened around, find the scriptures, find the truths that attack the lie, and hammer away at it. Speak the truth, not the lie. Speak the desired end result. You are not lying when you speak your faith. Spiritual truth is higher than natural circumstances. So if God's spiritual truth is you are healed, then you're just commanding your body to line up with the word of God. And the more you say, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus, that word's working in you. It's producing healing. Eventually, you're just going to wake up and be healed. Because you're saying it. You're speaking your faith. But if you get out of bed and complain about everything that hurts and everything that aches, and every time you see, how are you doing? Oh, man, I'm tired all the time. I can't function. I can't think. How many people say they can't think and then wonder how come they can't think? The memory of the just is blessed. Stop saying you can't think. Because you can think. You have the mind of Christ. Are you going to tell Jesus he can't think? You have the mind of Christ. That's what the Bible says. So you can think. And you have every ability to think. And not only can you think, but you can think clearly and you can think correctly. You don't have to be goofy in your thinking. If you are, it's your choice and it's reinforced by the things that you're saying. Start saying you're healed. Start saying you have the mind of Christ. Start saying, I don't have a spirit of fear. I'm not afraid of anyone. I'm not afraid of anything. God, you've given me a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. That is the scripture that I used to conquer and obliterate fear out of my life. And I am 100% telling you the truth. I do not have fear in my life. I don't have anxiety in my life. I don't have any of that stuff in my life because I went after it probably 25 years ago. I stopped watching stuff that produced fear. I stopped listening to stuff that produced fear. And I started saying, God, you've not given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. I have a sound mind. I don't have fear. Anxiety, fear, you have nothing on me. And let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what runs in your family. It doesn't have to run into you. The blood of Jesus severs generational curses. It can stop and should stop with you if you'll take a stand. If you will take a stand, if you will apply the blood of Jesus, we overcome, Revelation 12:11, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. My testimony is that I'm healed. I didn't have to wait until healing was confirmed by the medical report. I said I was healed long before the medical report caught up. We declare God's truth. We stand on His word. God meets us where we're at. Faith will operate in the positive or the negative. So if you are continually saying, I can't get over this, I can't stop, this is just who I am, basically what you're doing is you're building the faith in your own heart and in your own life that that's just who you are and you can't stop and you can't do anything about it and this is just who you are. But you, through your own words and your own wrong thinking and belief, are stopping that blessing. That yes, you can be healed, you can be delivered, you can change. Life can be good for you. It's not too late. Moses was old. Lots of people in the Bible were pretty old when they actually did stuff for God. So don't think that it's ever too late to get things right. You're here because you have time. God has time. God needs you. And He wants you free. So how do we go from curse to blessing? In response to it, Jesus said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. You know, do you ever read scripture sometimes and go, what does that have to do with anything? Right? I don't know. Am I the only one that thinks that sometimes scriptures, like when you first read it and you first see stuff and you're like, what does that have to do with anything, Lord? That sounds kind of dumb. I think God is fine with us sometimes going, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. Or, God, I don't really like this. Because He knows you don't like it anyway. You know, when the Word of God starts to correct things in your life, wait till the Word of God starts to prune things in your life. Pruning is not necessarily fun, but it is necessary. All right, so the keys for today. Jesus spoke. He cursed the root that was bad, and the tree obeyed. If there is bad fruit coming up in your life, you've got a root of something that is incorrect that needs to be cursed. It needs to dry up and it needs to come out or be gone from your life. You have authority in your own life. Jesus gave you His power and His authority to speak to the things that are wrong in our lives. And we need to use that authority. So if you've got bad fruit, curse it at the root. How do I do that? Father, in the name of Jesus, I curse that at the root. I command that thing to wither and die in my life. It has no more power. It has no ability to continue to grow. It's done, it's over, and it's finished. And even if your behavior or the things that you say kind of water that cursed root, just keep cursing it. Okay, this is gross. I have shared this, but not for a long time. How many of you ever had planter's warts? They're just a pain. And once you get them, it's like they're supposedly, here again, supposedly they're always in your body and you're going to have to deal with them from time to time. So I had planter's warts on my foot or whatever long time ago, got them burned off. If you've ever had that done, it is very painful. It's really painful. And finally, I decided, these things are under the curse, man. This has no right to be in my body. And so I just started cursing them. Every time I thought about them, every time I saw them, I curse you in Jesus' name. You wither and die out of my life. I'm not dealing with this anymore. And all of a sudden, I woke up one day. They were completely gone, and I've never had one since. And that's been probably 30 years, a long time. Why? Because I put my foot down on the Word of God and decided that I was not going to let planter's warts harass me anymore. And I was not going to continue to go back to the doctor and inflict that kind of pain on my feet. It hurts. So I'm just telling you some things that I've learned over the years. And as the Holy Spirit brings stuff up to me, if it's not in the Word of God, I'm not having it. Even if it looks like I am, I'm telling you, I'm not. And eventually that thing is going to go. It's going to change. It's going to bow its knee, what, to the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and to the authority of the Word of God. We have it. I'm not special. I'm just determined. I'm just feisty enough to fight for what God says I can have. If my daddy says I can have it, I'm going to have it. And if my daddy says I don't have to have it, I'm not going to have it. And nobody's going to talk me out of it. That's how you have to be. You, yourself. I can't do that for my husband. I can't do that for you. I've said this before. I can't want your healing more than you want your healing for yourself. But boy, when you find people that are standing for something, I want to come right alongside you and add my agreement for that thing to be broken in your life. Because I do want people to be free. I know what it's like to experience freedom in my life. And when you get that kind of freedom, when you have healing, when you have those things over the course of time, you don't ever want to give them up. Why would anybody want to go back? We're not going back to the way we used to be. We're going to go forward. We're going to walk in the things that God has for us. Because it's not about us. I'm so thankful that we do get to enjoy the blessings of God as we're growing. But you will get to a point in your Christianity where you realize it has nothing to do with you. It's all about who you can help, who you can encourage, who you can tell the truth to so that they can be free, they can be saved, they can be healed. Your life is not your own. It's all about what God wants and can do, and there's nothing greater than to be used by the Spirit of God to help someone. Mark 11 gives us further insight. Whoever says to the mountain, be removed, believes what he says, he will have what he says. Mark 11, 23. Whoever says to the mountain, be removed, believes what he says, he will have what he says. Speaking in there three times. Believing's only in there once. We speak it. We speak it, we speak it, we speak it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. The more you speak it, the more you believe it, the more you believe it, the more you'll speak it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. In that context, he called them a brood of vipers, the Pharisees, because they were saying all this stuff, but the fruit was bad. Their mouth contradicted what they propped themselves up to be. We don't want to contradict ourselves. Your saying will translate into your believing. The more you speak God's word, the more power in the seed of God's word, the more that word is working in you. Bible says that God is watching over us. He's perfecting those things that concern us. So God has you. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what's so good about that scripture? Takes the pressure off of you. Because he's the one who's working a good work in you, and he's the one that's going to bring it to pass. So don't stress out about the message. Please do not walk out of here under condemnation and go, God has you. His peace has you. Hold your peace. If you're quiet, sometimes people just need to be quiet for a while. And do you know that people think you're smarter if you're quiet? They'll just think you have more wisdom. So if you've had a problem with running your mouth, just be quiet. You'll be better off for it. People will think you're brilliant. Anyway, fastest way to grow your faith is for you to start declaring scriptures over yourself. When you are speaking the scriptures, you hear with your outer ears, but you also hear with your inner ears. So it's twice as fast. But you can also listen to messages. I listen to messages all the time. Most of the time when I'm driving into work, I have a message playing on faith, on declarations, different things. And I'll pray along with it. I'll say different things. I'm listening. I'm feeding myself the word of God. I take advantage of that 20-minute, 25-minute drive a lot of times to build myself up in my faith. Mark 11 also tells us immediately the number one blocker to healing, deliverance, and our faith working, and it's unforgiveness. Mark 11, 25, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness, when it comes to healing and deliverance, is a major blocker. And you can't have a little tiny unforgiveness and think that it doesn't matter. It does matter. We forgive by faith. Has nothing to do with your feelings. But you forgive by faith. And if you ask the Lord, do I have an unforgiveness in my heart? The Holy Spirit will flash a name, flash a face. You need to take the time to say, Father, I forgive them for whatever it is that they did. If you had a coach that spoke things over you that impacted you, forgive them. If you had parents that didn't know any better, you got to let your parents off the hook. Hurting people hurt people. Unsaved people hurt people. And Christians who never learned the word of God or the truth or how to behave, they hurt people too. And even Christians who do know the truth and are full of the Holy Spirit can have wrong thinking and hurt people. You all hurt people. You all say dumb stuff. We all do. So there's nobody exempt from humility and letting people off the hook. And if you will do that on a regular basis, and then you need to forgive yourself. A lot of times people, they have forgiven all those people, but they won't let themselves off the hook. God loves you. He forgives you. You have to forgive yourself. And any time that little twinge, when forgiveness is complete? When you no longer have a twinge. When you think of that person or that situation. You just keep saying it. You don't mull it over in your head. Quit mulling. Quit mulling. I work with someone who mulls stuff and convinces whatever and then just speaks it all out like there's a whole big blow up and nothing even happened yet. Stop mulling. Ask for forgiveness. When that twinge comes or that person does another thing that seems to reinforce your wrong thinking, Father, I forgave him. I forgave him. I love him. I'm not going to take account of a suffered wrong. Love never fails. I'm not going to take account of a suffered wrong. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to let it go. And then you go about your business. And then when that twinge comes up again, or you're tempted to think about it, or something happens that flashes a memory back to, there's door openers in our lives. Let me just say that. There's first instances. A lot of times when we're kids, there's door openers that then open the door for things to continue to happen. If you go back and you're able to get the first instance and close that door and then start the healing process, you just keep saying it. You just keep saying it. You just keep saying it. I heard a minister say, or read in a book on holiness, you have not forgiven until you can pray for the person to not reap the consequences of what they did. And I was like, oh, Lord, really? Because for years, I know that people reap what they sow. So I took great pleasure in the fact that, okay, God, I'm going to release this because I know they're going to get what they deserve for what they did. And my faith was good in that. And then I realized that's not the right attitude in forgiveness. And now I have to actually pray for them to not reap the consequences of what they did. And as soon as I got that word, that's what I've done for years. It's been probably 30 years of that. As soon as somebody crosses a line, I just pray for them. Father, I pray they don't reap the consequences of what they're doing. Just like Jesus. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's when you know you've really forgiven and forgiveness is complete. And the thing is, your healing and your deliverance and the blessings and prosperity of God hinge on it. They hinge on it. It's in your best interest that you let things go and you trust God that he can make all things right. Whatever the enemy has stolen from you, God can restore. He can build a beautiful life, a beautiful picture beyond what you could ever do yourself if you'll trust him and you'll let him. I'm going to end the service now. Pastor Steve's going to trade places with me because, well, no, it's time, honey. I usually jump up at the end of the service, but he's going to jump up. And then we'll be back to our normal situation next week.
That, my dear, was outstanding. Somebody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. That is excellent. One of the things, there's so many things you said that I wanted to talk about, right? But he sent his word and he healed us. But also, scripture, she said, having done all to stand. Standing on the word of God and holding fast to your profession of faith without wavering because he's faithful, that promised. You said so many things I want to comment on. I can't
say that. I don't think I did.
Well, it leads to it.
But you heard it.
Yeah.
See, that's what the Holy Spirit will do, right?
Yeah. I don't even want to take anything away. That was excellent. You're wonderful. So, praise God. But it's time to share. First, well, I was going to do the offering, but you can't do the offering before the ask people a salvation message, right? Salvation is more important than the offering. So let's say the salvation prayer together. We say it the same every single time. So everybody should be able to stand up or with somebody and pray the salvation prayer the way I do it. You don't have to do it the way I do it. Do it your own way. But if you can't do it your own way, do it my way. So it says,
Dear God in heaven.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
I believe that he died on the cross for me.
And was raised again from the dead.
Was raised again from the dead.
So that I could have eternal life.
So that I could have eternal life.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Jesus, come into my heart.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
And be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I ask you to forgive me of my sin.
I receive forgiveness now.
I receive forgiveness now.
And I receive eternal life.
And I receive eternal life.
And I thank and praise you for it.
And I thank and praise you for it.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There's so many things I would love to elaborate on, but you did an awesome job. So what else do we have to do?
Offering.
Oh, yeah, offering. You know, what did you just say?
You do the offering, I'll do the announcements.
Okay. She talked about some difficult subjects in the body of Christ, and she made it very, very receivable, very simple to accept truth. Sometimes truth hurts, but sometimes truth is just absolutely sweet. You know, I think Proverbs calls it sweet to the soul, right? But, you know, she talked about abundance and fullness and overflow. Just having a barely enough is not God's will. God's will is abundance, full, and overflow in all areas of life. And so my bottom line here is God wants you to be blessed and prosperous and healthy and living joyfully, peacefully, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He wants all that for you. And so we are doers of the word. And so I encourage everyone. Most of you have been tithers and givers to the gospel ever since you've been coming here. But for someone else who hasn't yet stepped over into that area, God's will is not being broke, not being defeated, not being poor, that's all fruit of the enemy. He wants you have abundance to the full and to overflow. Then we can help people. Then we can do things. And yeah, we get to enjoy some of it too. Praise God for that. Father, we thank you for the tithes, the gifts, and the offerings that come into this church. We promise to use them for your work and your service. Thank you for blessing your people, for opening up the windows of heaven and pouring us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to receive it all. And you said you'd rebuke the devourer for our sakes, that our vines would not cast their fruit before their time in the field. And then you said on top of it that everything we put our hands to would and could and will prosper. So, Father, we thank you now for these gifts, tithes, and offerings that come into our church. Thank you for blessing your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.